Today is October 19th, and it's Friday, which means there's nonsense today.
So much nonsense. I'm not even here right now.
Everybody's favorite. Not everybody. Some people are humorless.
That's true.
Well, this is sort of a rehash at this point, but it's time for security news, which means we have to talk about the Google exposed data.
We've mentioned it in the earlier episodes of the news in the week, but this is Google Plus is literally just shutting down because it's more of a headache to maintain Google Plus than to actually continue on after this.
And nothing of value was lost.
They lost 500,000 user accounts, their data. Well,
potentially.
They may not have lost anything, but they don't really have records from that era, but they're trying to find them. They did rule out some things.
But they did try to dodge it, and it's interestingly enough, the new EU rules would punish that as a percentage of yearly revenue.
Wow.
Which this story points out, but like, when did GDPR start?
A couple weeks ago. Not years ago when this occurred. This would have occurred before GDPR took effect.
So does it matter when it happened?
Or when you disclosed?
Or when we found out about it? What if they screwed themselves?
They played themselves.
To the tune of billions of dollars by not coming forward with this.
Oops. I would feel better about the European regulations if the billions of dollars of fines went to some sort of police force that went around helping people make sure their patches were installed.
Police force? Open up!
You mean like the one in China?
Yeah, that's what I was going for there, yeah.
The other thing about this is the Schmidt testified in front of the Senate last week, right? And said not a word about this. And he was talking exactly about this kind of thing. So they're a little miffed about that. And other stories that need the horses that must be beaten further. It's the Supermicro story.
Bloomberg is doubling down. Bloomberg says new evidence of hacked Supermicro hardware found in U.S. telecom. But again, this is not legit.
Well, they didn't name the telecom. They did name the guy Yossi Applebaum.
What? Applebaum.
Baum?
Like Baum? Apple lip balm.
B-O-U-M?
Applebaum. What a name, though.
I don't know if that's necessarily Baum and not Baum.
This is Bloomberg. I don't know what Bloomberg is up to, but they're doing something.
So they claim that this guy worked for the unnamed telecom and found another malicious chip. Now, this time it wasn't the signal conditioner disguised chip. This one was they'd rebuilt the Ethernet port. And the thing that gave it away was the regular one is just plastic, and this one had a metal heat shield because of the extra heat that the listener generated. So
this is even more far-fetched because an Ethernet PHY, it doesn't really, like, I don't know. It still doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons. There are actually, like, some motherboards have electronics built into the Ethernet port because there's not enough real estate on the board, and I wonder if they just got them mixed up.
Oh, he claims he not only just like he found it similar to what they're talking about, like he noticed the traffic and then went looking, and this one was different, and it was because they found something inside of it.
Well, let me walk you through the thought process there, because if it's on the Ethernet side of the Ethernet interface, like that connector only has the 8 wires into the PCB to do stuff. By then, everything is already encrypted. Like, it's like you're listening in on the wire, okay, and you could inject extra packets, okay, but that is not a great location to be able to, like, sniff out system memory or do really anything else with the rest of the system, because by the time it's, like, to the physical Ethernet interface, all you can do is look at encrypted traffic and what the server is otherwise doing, which should be secure by that point anyway.
Well, listen, take it up with Mr. Applebaum.
I'm just saying.
Old Yossi. Everyone knew he was trustworthy.
Everybody loves live streams, right?
Sure.
And now we have an exciting new source. Unfortunately, we probably won't get to watch them.
Body camera maker will let cops live stream their encounters.
I was really excited. Well, I wasn't really excited. I don't really watch this sort of thing, but Ryan does all the time. I was like, look, you've got a whole new source of entertainment.
Police Activity on YouTube is a very entertaining channel. If you're willing to watch crackheads get shot.
As it turns out, that's kind of a line for me.
If you don't, if you don't like to see that, I wouldn't recommend it.
I tried to find that report. There was a news article we covered a few years ago where when the police started wearing body cam coverage, the complaints went down.
Because they know they're being watched.
Yeah, because but here's the thing about this. So the argument
citation needed.
The argument here is live streaming doesn't help that. So the problem with live streaming is if it's always on and always feeding back to a central location, then not only are you like essentially surveilling the whole city for free, but you tie facial recognition into that and you have an always on dragnet of everybody's location.
So it's like that Chinese footage that we saw where the camera system was drawing little boxes around people.
Exactly.
Like middle-aged male wearing slacks.
One
young female wear.
One nice added feature, though, they have, you know how those things, a lot of cops got, but remember the drug planting cops?
Yeah.
They didn't realize that it buffers like 30 seconds and it rolls back after you hit the button. It's going to be immediately triggered on the sound of a gunshot now.
Instead of rolling back 30 seconds.
No, no, it's still going to roll back 30 seconds.
Okay.
But the it doesn't. The cop doesn't have to turn it on. If it hears a gunshot,
this is going
to
be
it on. Just automatically rolls back 30 seconds and starts.
Nice.
So
that's nice. That's probably not a bad thing.
Well, this weekend, open Amazon AWS instances.
Mind body owned Fitmetrics exposed millions of user records thanks to servers without passwords.
Is this even like a, we wouldn't even call this a breach. This is just gross negligence.
Yeah, just no password on the old AWS instance, which so many times we see it. This was not just your name and address and all that stuff, but like your shoe size, your weight, your height.
How that fitness program's been going.
Yeah, and like what your progress was and stuff like that. They lost a lot of data.
I wouldn't want people to see that.
How great is it going to be when Alexa crawls the internet looking for data sets like this to automatically add them to your profile? It's like, hey, Timmy, I see your weight program's not going as well. Would you like to order some wheat?
Some wheat?
What?
Is that like a health product? I don't know.
Wheat?
You mean what? Like...
Wheat
like,
is the...
Oh, whey. Whey.
Wheat is the polar opposite of a health product.
Sorry, I meant whey. W-H-E-Y.
I was going to think, you know, like track shoes or, just, you know.
Misfire but, on the reference there.
Yeah.
Just, you're just eating just unprocessed wheat.
Ancient grains.
It's the paleo diet. No, it's...
They definitely didn't have wheat. Well, and once again, we talk about security problems and just it's just repetition. It's the same thing over and over. So how about not only a default username and password, but a backdoor username and password as well?
Over 9 million cameras and DVRs open to advanced persistent threats, botnets, botnet herders and voyeurs. So yeah, the security issue was fixed, but there was a backdoor account, which, by the way, this could also be called a side gate account for those of you in Australia. This is a preview of what's going to happen in Australia right here. This article, this is it.
And these were white box cameras that a lot of people rebranded. So this affects, it's not just one company. This affects a lot of branded cameras. And unless you update them, there is that backdoor account that side people gate. Can just immediately get into. And that when you set these up, it doesn't even prompt you to change the admin blank password default. So
as one does.
Don't put those in your bedroom.
Or do.
Yeah.
Live dangerously.
If you want to be watched, you know, if you're an exhibitionist, and you can even blame it and be like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. But you enjoyed it, didn't you?
There goes our monetization.
Well, here's a good question for the week. Who is still installing Flash?
People who want to watch old Homestar Runner?
Bleeping Computer is, you know, coin miners are using new tricks to impersonate Adobe Flash installers. So some of these are really good. It comes up as like an Adobe Flash security update, and then you install it, and then it's just mining crypto in the background.
But it actually does
update. Yeah, it installs it.
Or install your Adobe Flash. Like, how did somebody not come up with this before? That seems pretty obvious, right? But yeah, so if you've updated Flash recently and you notice that things are running a little hot, maybe one CPU is always pegged, maybe you might have a coin miner.
How long before an independent musician or artist like does their new album? And it's like, you can get the album for free. Just let me mine some coins for a few minutes on your computer.
Bjork released one of her albums with her own cryptocurrency. Don't think it's doing real well. As you might imagine, but the album's doing fine. Don't know about the cryptocurrency.
What's the Bork?
Bork. She's not Swedish.
What's the Bjork to Doge exchange ratio?
You know.
Engagement challenge.
Who knows?
What's the Bjork coin called? Is it Bjork coin?
It's called something else, I think. I can't remember what it was. But she was like, oh, I'm going to release it with like all the other weird stuff that I did.
Does it actually, is there a way to mine it or?
I couldn't tell you.
Just buying Bjork's albums?
I think it's just buying, yeah.
You're a terrible fan.
You can only mine it by listening to the album over and over again.
It's a depressing album too.
Well, let's take a trip down memory lane here. Remember the janitor who was cleaning up all the Internet of Things devices? And then there was the Brickerbot guy, who was more of a Punisher type hero for. And then there was the kid who got locked up at the DEF CON because he fixed the portal that was handing out the ransomware.
Oh yeah, he's still struggling.
Still That's, locked up.
Yeah.
So we can add one more to the Hall of Heroes of Internet of Things.
A mysterious gray hat is patching people's outdated MikroTik routers. An internet vigilante claims that he has patched over 100,000 MikroTik routers already.
Using HTML, if you believe the background footage in this video.
Standard issue hacking.
Yeah, you know, PHP print bold yeah. text.
So this guy just, you know, he scans for open router. It turns out that people who were taking advantage of these MikroTik routers didn't clean up after themselves when they left. So they left it open for somebody to come behind them. And he took advantage of that, went in, fixed it, and then closed everything up so that it couldn't be breached again.
Some heroes don't wear capes.
He claims he's gotten 100,000.
Good sir, bravo.
That is illegal, by the way. But would you ever, I hope that enough knowledgeable people would be on that jury that yeah. he wouldn't have to worry about that.
I would hope. But it seems awfully idealistic.
Well, you might want to pour out a little bit of your orange soda.
Pour one
very
out for
depressing,
your homie.
Very yeah. depressing story this week.
The Hubble telescope has been hit by a mechanical failure. So it's telescoping days. I don't know, hubbling days.
Well, it's down to two gyroscopes, and it ideally should have three to operate. They can make it work on one very slowly. So what they're going to do, if they can't get number three booted back up, they're only going to leave one running in anticipation of that one also failing. Mm. And then we'll have one left before Hubble will forever be pointed in one direction.
Rip in peace.
We'll probably know ahead of time. Where do you think we should point it as its final resting location?
Pluto.
I guess it would
with
probably
other
just,
dead planets.
It would probably just spin uncontrollably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Alpha Centauri.
Rest in peace, Hubble. You've served us well. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah. Aren't there better telescopes in orbit now?
But they don't have the name value.
Mm.
That's about brand
that,
recognition.
It's that Q rating.
We need to launch the Hubble 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Hubble Jr. Well, big news from IBM. If you want to, you know, like, it seems like everybody makes this announcement eventually, and that is 7 nanometers, but they do have a novel approach.
IBM has pushed beyond 7 nanometers and they're using graphene to place nanomaterials on wafers. Like a lot of things from IBM, I think IBM is going to have to make sure they partner with somebody that actually does fabrication. I mean, IBM does, it's so, such a bizarre, like the, I mean, IBM does do a lot of stuff, and IBM is not new to the processor game. But IBM sort of scaled back because, you know, the whole power architecture. And I really think that this news would be a lot better if IBM also announced, hey, we've got a new partnership with TSMC or even Global Foundries, and they're going to carry out the brunt work of this. We're going to get a license deal, and it's going to be great. I think Global Foundries honestly should do something like that since their 12-nanometer process was licensed from Samsung anyway.
The idea here is normally you have metal that you use as spacing between the tiny little components. In this case, they're actually growing graphene on the wafer and then going in there and milling away the stuff they don't need, then placing the components between the pieces of graphene and then getting rid of the rest of the graphene. So it is a much different process, and they did talk about how those existing foundries aren't equipped to deal with it. So they would have to create something entirely new.
Yeah.
But if it works,
I think that the whole like creating an entire like the way that it usually works is like the people that run the foundries and the scientists that are inventing the new process, when they can, you know, sort of talk to each other and they're not in different companies on the other side of the planet, the materials people will be like, oh, we've got a clever way to do that that the actual scientist people didn't think of. That's how we've got where we are now.
Well, here's a question. When you 3D print something and it's made entirely out of plastic, how do you measure how much it's been used?
Researchers are
Tell me, Ryan.
developing 3D printed objects that can track and store how they're used. I want the saw blade hand, whatever that is. That looks cool.
Well, no one knows what that is.
That gear engages one of these two little strikers here, based on how it moves. And the contact sort of reports home. So the idea here is they use backscatter to detect when certain things happen with all these objects. So here, this pill bottle here, when you take the cap off, you do one kind of event that can be detected with backscatter, and when you put it back on, there's another kind of event. So basically, these things are just sending signals back.
The Internet of Things timeline just got a lot darker.
Yeah, kind of weird. So you can I think there are not pure plastic. There are some little pieces of metal in there somewhere, but there's no electronics. And yet you can measure how much these 3D printed objects are being used and in what way.
One of the things they mentioned was like an insulin shot.
Yeah.
Like how much insulin you've been using.
And that used a spring so that every time you injected yourself, the spring was further compressed. When you decompress it, that's when it reports back how much it just decompressed to measure. I feel like measuring something like insulin, maybe go ahead and spend the money and get a better monitoring system.
Yeah, instead of 3D printing something from home to save a few bucks.
Oops, accidentally gave you a fatal dose of insulin. Guess it'll be all right.
But we saved so much money because we printed our own parts. Well, this is an incredible story that won't affect any of our lives, but still pretty incredible,
maybe the
right?
News will be shot in this soon.
The world's fastest camera shoots 10 trillion frames a second, which seems an insanely high number.
It is. I think the previous was 3 trillion.
Yeah.
Quite an improvement. What would you photograph at 10 trillion frames per second? Lasers. Here you go.
Everything you've ever wanted.
There's what a laser looks like at 10 trillion frames per second.
That's
real exciting, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do with that, but I bet it's something good. Once again, Business Insider. They've burned us.
They've got to be blacklisted.
They've burned
off
us.
This program.
And this was a hilarious story, too.
This mysterious website charges you 99 cents to see who else has paid 99 cents.
To view the website.
Yeah.
And every time you go back, you have to pay another 99 cents.
And then you go on the list. So if someone wants to find out if you paid 99 cents, they pay 99 cents. People are using it.
And if you want to see who saw if you paid 99 cents, you will also have to pay 99 cents again.
Exactly, yeah. At the time of the article, which was back during the week at some point, the reporter said he was the 44th person.
Why didn't we think of this?
It's brilliant. It really is.
Because literally everybody's going to be covering this. They're going to make, you know, when do you think it'll stop? The $1 per pixel homepage guy was a millionaire.
Well, obviously what a lot of people were doing was putting their website URL in the name tag. My favorite one was Bush did 9/11, paid 99 cents. And 99 cents is the perfect amount of money, I think. Yeah. Somebody would be like, you know what, I'll do it just for the good.
Screw it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Probably, a scary thing is if you're doing the credit card transaction, like 50 cents of that is going to go to the credit card company.
That is disgusting that such a brilliant idea is enriching our corporate overlords. But what are you going to do? I think this was Chris's favorite story.
It was my favorite story this week.
It's a sort of an Orwellian view that Orwell probably could have never predicted.
Well, reading the headline, it sounds kind of innocuous. Like, it's not that bad. Google Maps, man divorces wife after he sees her with someone else on Street View. You're like, well, she could just be walking with some guy. Who cares? But then you scroll down and you see the pictures. She's like feeding him grapes on the street.
Look how happy that man
is. His head is in her lap.
I like how he barely fits on the bench.
Yeah. They're so desperate to be together that they've squeezed on this park bench.
And they got him from another angle here.
Broad daylight.
So, yeah. The husband confronted her. She admitted that she was a filthy adulteress. And they will now divorce.
They are divorced, I think, at the time of this article.
This was in Peru.
What was the street name? We tried to pronounce it. It's like super long.
It's... That was Puente de los Suspiros de Barranco in Lima, Peru.
That's a mouthful.
And I've certainly got it incorrectly pronounced. Well,
I love our next story.
Who watches the watchers, right? Like, so you get the camera, right? Everybody tells you you got to get a camera, get the Internet of Things camera, put it out there, and you can stop people from stealing, right? But then, how do you answer this question?
Unless you're a badass like this guy in this article.
The homeowner says the video capture that he got shows the crook stealing the doorbell camera used to stop thefts.
Because the doorbell camera has value.
But you have to watch the video. Like, this is another one where you have to
see
the
video. Here he is. He's like, oh.
He literally walks up, sees it, and just like immediately is like,
this looks like something I could sell. He actually came back. That was his first attempt. And then he came back and managed to smash it off the wall. Here he goes.
Look at him.
I like how he came back in the same direction. So he must have circled the house.
He was thinking about it, and he was like, okay, I can do this.
I'm going to do it. Bad news for him is, similar to Apple products, this thing can be shut down remotely. So whoever he fenced it to will not be able to use it, unfortunately.
It was just a dominance thing.
We got facial recognition in airports. We got law enforcement using it. We got the Chinese. It's on every street corner. We're using it at major venues for concerts and political rallies and things like that. So what's the next place we're going to get facial recognition is the question.
Salmon farming.
Fishes.
So salmon have this really terrible, disease?
Lice?
Yeah, it eats their face.
It's a parasite.
Yeah, it eats their face. It's really, like, there are pictures of the salmon that have, like, the thing eaten, and it's just really...
It's like aphids, but for salmon.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
There they are. There's actually a picture of the...
it's absolutely disgusting.
Poor tree.
Here's the system. So the salmon have to get oxygen or air to make themselves the proper buoyancy, their little air bladder. So they build this little system, and they come up here, and the camera takes their picture when they come up for air. And it can tell them apart. Here's the evil sea lice.
Ew, they do look kind of gross.
They start small, and then they get real big or whatever.
So yeah, these salmon, it can literally tell individual salmon apart and flag them. So they come up into the little chamber, and it's like, hey, take him out and treat him for sea lice.
They'll totally treat him and not just murder him outright.
I gotta wonder if it's worth treating them individually. I mean, I guess they're valuable enough, maybe.
Yeah, but probably.
We need a biological engineering company to be involved with this so that the ones that we capture that have sea lice, we can take them and study them and then confer some sort of genetic superiority to fight the sea lice naturally and then release them back into the...
Then the sea lice get stronger.
The reason they have sea lice is the same reason that most people have human lice. It's because they're being farmed in close captivity. So it's basically a fish ghetto. If they were out and free among the water where they belong, the sea lice wouldn't be an issue.
Or maybe they'd just be like a minimal issue.
So what you're saying is we created the issue in the first place.
Yes, absolutely.
This is just a terrible, terrible Band-Aid.
It's because we are farming these poor little guys for food. And we're not fixing them out of the goodness of our heart. We're fixing them because they're delicious.
Kind of like our next story.
It is.
I don't think anyone's farming these people for food. But
we should, though. Eat the rich, as they say, right?
I thought you were saying eat the homeless.
Twitter and Salesforce CEOs bicker over who is helping the homeless more. Could there be a more first world problem? have we reached peak first world problem?
They've received their reward here.
So Mark Benioff, is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah, Benioff.
Is the Salesforce CEO.
Benioff.
He supports the Seattle homeless help law. Jack Dorsey, Twitter CEO, opposes the homeless law. And because of that disagreement, they began in a sanctimony off on Twitter.
Salesforce is a lot more profitable than Twitter. Twitter doesn't have two nickels to rub together, even though they're, you know.
But the question is, who loves the homeless more? And it remains unanswered. You know? Engagement challenge. Weigh in on who do you think actually loves the homeless more.
Jeff Bezos. Go ahead and throw Jeff Bezos in there, too.
I think he hates him, doesn't he? Didn't Amazon threaten to leave if they have to help the homeless?
Well, he certainly doesn't want to pay that tax.
Yeah.
And I was literally, they were saying things like, what have you done, bro? I've done this. I donated this amount. It's just like, ooh.
Don't let him work
on your boiler. That doesn't end well.
Well, long have the authorities sought out more rigid control over the vaping industry. And now they may just get their way.
E-cig company puts Viagra and Cialis in vape liquids. The FDA is throbbing mad.
Oh, Ars Technica.
The whole article is full of puns like that. The cocky company, the et cetera, et cetera.
So they actually advertised this vape liquid here with a picture of Cialis behind it. And in fact, they tested it. It does contain the active ingredient in Cialis.
But the real question is, is it even effective if you inhale it?
I don't know.
The FDA wasn't able to do anything other than just issue a stern warning, which I thought was funny.
But yeah, so, and you know what? It's going to have, this is going to be a huge Streisand effect, because now that it's in the news, there's going to be a lot of people who's like, wait a minute. You're telling me that I can vape and order that immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if people aren't already draping themselves all over you if you vape.
Oh, well, obviously.
You know, you're having to push them off. It's like, that's grief. True.
Well, you're going to need that extra stamina because of the aphrodisiac that vaping is.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win situation. They also had a banned weight loss drug that they infused some of the vape with. And that turned out that that wasn't what was in it, but it did have some other sort of like stimulant weight loss. So they're not bullshitting. Somehow they're going to the trouble of actually putting Cialis in the vape. And, you know, tell it,
if please, you use this
in the comments, let us know. Do you have rock hard erections after you vape the Cialis vape? And approximately how long do those last? Make sure you give us all of that data.
If you have one lasting more than 4 hours, contact your general practitioner.
Well, we can't talk about this topic without bringing up the memory and, again, pouring some out for Pebbles, the emotional support hamster.
Which you guys may remember from a past story.
And unfortunately, we do not know the name of this hero.
Cleveland bound flight was delayed due to emotional support squirrel.
Now, he's still alive. He made it out.
Yeah, I feel like the story with Pebbles is much darker because they told the lady like she couldn't have her emotional support hamster, so she flushed it down the toilet.
Which,
this is not that.
Yeah.
This is different.
This I think this is a stock photo of a squirrel, to be honest. I don't think this is the actual
squirrel. No, he's
squirrel.
Not even dressed up.
I can think of a funnier stock photo of a squirrel that they could have used. The one that's the meme.
I don't know the reference.
I don't know the squirrel meme.
You've seen it before, I'm sure. It's the one... never mind.
He's going to try to explain the meme, like the picture.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
So this lady actually... So when you're doing your ticketing, you can check the box, emotional support animal. She did.
And they let her on the flight.
And she sat down, and then somebody spotted a squirrel, and they were like, oh my God, there's a squirrel on the plane. She refused to get off the plane. She, unlike, you know, the young lady who had Pebbles, she buckled. And she flushed poor Pebbles down the toilet.
Like, what a bizarre...
But this lady actually defended her squirrel, which is respectable, I suppose, if a little...
Emotionally unsettling?
I think either one. Like, who's the crazier one?
Which might support the idea that she needs an emotional support squirrel. But she wouldn't get off the plane. They had to get everybody off the plane, bring in the cops, and drag her off, and the squirrel too, presumably.
I'm so pissed.
And it took 2 hours.
I'm just so angry.
The rule is emotional support animals must be dogs, cats, and hilariously enough, miniature horses.
No, well, I don't
can
think
you bring
all
your
horse,
mini horse on a plane?
I don't think all airlines support the mini horse, but I could be wrong.
Well, whatever this airline was, that was, for whatever reason, that was the third option.
You think I could bring Rue on a plane?
No.
Well, yeah.
She'd have to be certified.
She would,
not for emotional support.
But imagine how like the level of pissing would be.
Yeah.
You could take her to that Saudi Arabian.
That's her indicator that you're about to have a seizure.
She's just so excited.
Oh, Lord.
But I think the reason that they rule this way, and it makes sense, is because rodents could easily chew through something very important. They could slip into a crack somewhere on the plane, you wouldn't be able to retrieve them, and meanwhile, they're chewing through the aeronautics. Yeah.
Unlike a cat.
A miniature horse, you wouldn't have that problem.
You might have other problems in the cabin, but you wouldn't have to worry about them getting into the machinery.
The other big thing that happens today is the embargo is finally up on the Intel 9900 performance. And so I'm at a place doing a thing. There's going to be a lot more coverage of that. So that's going to be fun.
guess where it is in the comments below. Actually, they'll probably know by the time this is posted.
They'll probably know, except for the patrons. The patrons will get it early, so I have to be careful about what I say.
Secret.
Ooh.
Spooky. All right. For Halloween.
We'll see you guys next week.